One of the men stopped me last night and wanted to know my text for today. And I said, man, I don't get that information this soon. And I still am not sure that this is where I'm supposed to be. So you tell me. I won't try to tell you. But I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Oh, and the same man wanted to know my title. Well, you got to find a text before you get a title. So I'm going to give you my text. Am I a sheep or a goat? Because we're one or the other. And it cannot change. We are what we are by the grace of God. We're going to begin at verse 31. Now, this is either going to take a long time or a short time, and I can't tell you which that is either. So, our Lord speaks some of the clearest, plainest words in all the Bible. But when we look at ourselves and our old religion, and we all had an old religion, some of us has had two or three versions of it. And I'm in that category, along with some other fellows I might mention, but I won't. But our Lord is speaking. How on earth we had the same Bible back then and could not see these things? We found out that we were spiritually blind and spiritually dead. And what we thought was physical is actually spiritual. Verse 31, Matthew 25. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll come back and work on the verses. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations that have ever existed, all people that have ever been on the face of this earth. And He shall separate them one from another. And He does that division, first of all, by the use of very telling words, sheep or goat. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. This is very telling. It is very important. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, that is, His people, His sheep, His bride, His church, He'll say to his people on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I don't know how long that is, but that's a long time. Nobody knows how old this earth is. These crazy people that claim to know are just absolutely mad. But if that's their thing, let them have it. I don't care. Here's what He says to His people. All of His people. All of His people of all time and every generation. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. You gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Here's another very important. They're all important, but these stand out, these verses. Then shall the righteous, we have another word now to add to the sheep, they're righteous. You cannot be in Christ without being righteous. And if we've ever been in Him, we can't get out of Him. These people act surprised at what our Lord has just recorded about them. They said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Amen, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Yet they seem to have had no knowledge of it. That seems like a pretty good way to live the Christian life. Then our Lord turns to the other group on His left hand, verse 41. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But unbelieving sinners, God-hating sinners, who do not flee to Christ for refuge, are in this number. I think that was verse 40. Did I cover 40? Oh, you people are not trained. You won't answer me. I got it. Okay. Boy, I can do that at home and I get an answer just like that. I'm going to read 41 again anyway if I've already read it. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I did read it once before. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Now compare this to verse 37. Back in 37, the righteous answered him, Lord, when did we do any of these things for you? We have no recollection. We evidently don't talk hardly at all about what we do in your name. But that ain't true of the other group. Now we compare verse 44 with verse 37. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? You just name a time that you were in any of these conditions and we did not minister unto you. We've done everything we're supposed to do. And yet they haven't done anything. Nothing. Nothing. Religious, no doubt. Professed to love God, no doubt. But when his son came to this earth, these same people put him to death on the cross. Claimed to being doing God a favor. So the Lord answers their statement in verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, Amen, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So which is it? Am I a sheep or a goat? You can't mix the two. One is mutually exclusive of the other. Every human being on this earth is in one of these two categories. Religion in America is in as sorry a state as this world has ever seen. There is every kind of blasphemy imaginable. You would think churches would have some restrictions upon what they do as a congregation, but no, it doesn't work that way. You use everything that modern society uses to get these unsuspecting peoples into your grasp, and you can easily convert them because they're already lost. And since you're lost and they're lost, you're going to both stay lost until the gospel comes to town. And then things really get lively. I've been on the receiving end of a few. And I still remember them fondly. You might not think so, but I do. My first question is this. What do you think of this condensed section out of Matthew 25, verse 31 to the end of the chapter, which is 46? Can we get hold of what we've read and spoken of already? Now, I know. I know because I've been there. That in a congregation of this size, or for that matter, any size, there's generally both kinds of people present. Sheep or goats. This precious, precious statement and the contrast, I can't get over the contrast between what the righteous said to the Lord when he told them about everything they had done, and they couldn't remember a bit of it, and the other ones, he said, these are the things that you didn't do, and they said, we remember doing all of them. I found this little statement somewhere, I don't remember. It's been many years ago, and I don't remember where I found it. You might recognize the words to it. What comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. Are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? We were born sinners. and we'll die sinners. But thank God the sheep will be resurrected to life. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. New life from him we must receive before for sin we rightly grieve. We cannot believe apart from the new birth. No matter how many times you hear it, no matter how elementary or complicated it sounds to you, it is an absolute necessity. And it's not something we can give ourselves. It's not something our parents can give to their children. The new birth is the work of the triune God. And it's everywhere in these scriptures, just everywhere. Matthew messed up my Bible for me. Looking some songs. but I'll get over that. I thought this little, it's actually a hymn by Isaac Watts, but I won't punish you anymore by singing to you. But I'd like to read it. I'm sure you've seen it. If not, I'll find somebody to make you a copy of it. I'd write it out, but you couldn't read it. Here it is. No more, my God, I boast no more. Now, that's a mouthful. Wow. I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before. Did you? Did you give up those unrealistic, false hopes we used to have? Do you now despise your old religion? If you can't, if you don't, you ain't left it yet. You're just trying to play the two against the other and see which one comes out the best in the end. I quit the hopes I held before to trust the merits of Christ. Now for the love I bear his name, what was my gain, I count my loss. My former pride, I call my shame. My old religion, I call my shame. If you can't say that, you got problems. Real problems. My former pride I call my shame and nail my glory to his cross. Yes, and I must and will esteem all things but loss for Jesus' sake. Oh, may my soul be found in him and of his righteousness partake. Let me interject one little thought regarding the word righteousness. I've had a few experiences over the years with people who call themselves Reformed. And all that means is they believe they have a righteousness of their own. And that ain't no righteousness at all. Nail my glory to his cross. Yes, and I must and will esteem all things but loss for Jesus' sake. Oh, may my soul be found in him and of his righteousness partake. Here's the last stanza, just four little stanzas. The best obedience of my hands dares not appear before thy throne. What? The best that I can do, I don't dare present it to God? if we think we can, if we think we do, you don't have Christ. A person's own works is an insult to God. If man could have been saved some other way than by the cross, God would be utterly foolish to put his son there in order to save his people. The best obedience of my hands dares not appear before thy throne, but faith can answer thy demands by pleading what my Lord has done. And done is the right word. It is D-O-N-E, done. That means complete. It means finished. And perhaps some other definitions that could be offered as well. Now let's go back to Matthew 25. First of all, before I begin to read a second time, we need to be clear about a good many things that are addressed in our Bibles. Why did Christ come to this earth? Knowing that he'd wind up on Calvary's cross. Why did he come? Because he alone can work out and merit a perfect righteousness so grand and glorious that it is enough for every last one of his people, all of them. And I'm sure Kentucky is no exception to North Carolina when it comes to the state of present-day religion. It is as rotten and as sorry and as stinking as it has ever been. Churches do anything and everything except worship God. Somebody told me, I think I know who it is, but I don't want to say it because I don't know it for sure. But anyway, there was a particular pastor at a Methodist church in this little town, and the preacher's parishioners began to see some glaring mistakes that just jumped out at them. So they started keeping notes to find out how often this man, on a Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, referred to Jesus Christ. And do you know they didn't have one? What you going to preach? What are you going to tell people about if it's not about Christ? It's all about themselves. Becoming and being better people and being a nicer neighbor and being this, that, and the other. And I'll tell you, we've missed the boat entirely if that's the case. And I think you folks know better than that. I'm sure you do. You may not love it, but you know it. You've heard it. And we've already heard it in this meeting. All right, let's see if we can find ourselves one more time. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Oh, and by the way, that's called the Great White Throne. It's Judgment Day. When our Lord comes back, this thing's already over. It's finished. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Those that have died thousands of years ago and those that, you know, have just died. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. You say, preacher, that don't even make sense. It would take a gazillion years to do that. Not if Christ is God, it don't. I don't remember the text right this minute, but the Lord Jesus is pictured in our Bibles as speaking this world into being. Where's Paul making? I stole this from Paul a long time ago. Talking about the, you know, speaking and it's done. Well, he said in the Latin, it's only two words, dictum and factum. And they mean, when translated, spoken and done. And that's how it is. There's no room for us and our influence and whatever else we think we could contribute to the case. It is an absurdity to think such things. All right, verse 33. He shall set the sheep on his right hand. Are you a sheep? Am I a sheep? But the goats on the left. Am I a goat? Some people would describe me like that, I'm sure. But that don't count. It's what God sees. You may say to me, well, preacher, I don't think God acts in such an arbitrary manner as this. Well, he's been doing it forever. And you tell me how God can be just and send hurricanes and tornadoes and mass slaughter and all the rest. It fits his purpose. I urge you to go back as at your earliest convenience. Well, heck, no, don't even wait on your convenience. Just do it. Read that several times. I use this for a funeral sermon, I reckon you'd call it, or something like that. And last Sunday, as a matter of fact. And a good many people at that funeral were a part of a group that tried to put my wife and us in the street. And they couldn't do it. And these people were there out of respect to the person that died. And so I took Matthew 25 and just read and commented as I read it. And an older gentleman came up to me after the graveside service was finished. And he said, did you know you made some people mad today? I said, well, I'm not surprised, but that ain't my problem. It isn't. The truth is always something we don't want to hear. goes counter to the grain. It's just, there are so many counterfeits to who God is and who man is and who Christ is, what salvation is. It's just beyond our ability to comprehend. But the simple truth of the matter is, unless I have Christ, I don't have anything at all. God help us. Thank you.